This is a Fox News alert. The oldest U.S. senator has died. I'm Dave Anthony.
Senator Dianne Feinstein was one of the most amazing people who ever graced the Senate, who ever graced the country.
That tribute from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Feinstein from California was 90.
She was serving on the San Francisco City Council and became mayor when there was the assassination at the City Hall in San Francisco back in the mid-1970s that killed Harvey Milk, the first openly elected gay official in the United States, and also George Moscone, who was mayor. In fact, she found the body of Mayor Moscone, and then she became mayor and was elected to the United States Senate in 1992.
Fox's Chad Pergam at the Capitol, where Senator Feinstein, despite being in declining health, cast her final vote yesterday. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy just paid tribute to Senator Feinstein.
Her career was, by any standards, historic.
But with just 37 hours left before government funding runs out, McCarthy also touted what Republicans have done.
We have now in the House passed more than 70% of the discretionary spending on appropriation.
It takes 12 bills to fully fund the government, but that takes time. So there's a push to approve short-term funding to avert a shutdown while they keep working. But some House Republicans oppose doing that. Even if it passed, Senate Democrats oppose the spending cuts the House is considering. The 15-day-old auto workers strike is going to get bigger.
I'm calling on an additional 7,000 members across Ford and GM to go on strike, starting at noon Eastern today.
UAW President Sean Fain says there are no new Stellantis walkouts, citing some progress in talks. Workers are already picketing at 41 auto facilities. A judge in Michigan just decided a teenage school shooter who's still a juvenile at 17 will be sentenced to life in prison, no chance of parole. Ethan Crumley pleaded guilty to murdering four classmates at Oxford High School in 2021. His parents are charged with involuntary manslaughter, accused of providing the gun. America's listening to Fox News.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. In addition to everything else going on, they have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters, and that's why it's so important to hire someone that has those skills.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Phoenix area attorneys, Joseph Cordell, licensed in Missouri and Illinois only. CordellCordell.com.
Consumer Cellular's award-winning customer support is 100% based in the U.S., and you are 100% based in the U.S. That's something you have in common with Consumer Cellular's customer service. Consumer Cellular's customer service likes pizza, and you like pizza. You want a free month of service, and we want to give you one. We obviously can't wait to hear from you. Visit consumercellular.com/freemonth and enter code FREEMONTH to get your second month free. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Promotion is subject to...
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Violence against UAW members on the picket lines is being blamed on automakers and contractors by union president. He says five UAW members were injured while a vehicle drove through picketers on Tuesday. Incidents have been reported as well. City of Yuma has been informing the public about its father-daughter ball. This special event is designed for girls ages 3 to 12 and their fathers or father figures. The event is on October 14th, but tickets are on sale now. Maine Library in Yuma has been informing the community about Memory Cafe for people with Alzheimer's, dementia, or other memory loss and their caregivers. Officials for the event say it's time to enjoy some social time and theme-based activities led by library staff. Travelers are keeping an eye on how long a looming federal government shutdown could affect flights. Congress has until Saturday to reach a deal to avoid the shutdown. If a deal isn't reached, air traffic controllers and TSA agents will continue to work during a shutdown as they are considered essential workers. That's the latest from the YumaDailyNews.com newsroom. I'm Kendra White.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
Cooler weather on the way. You'll notice it over the weekend. Today, much like yesterday, lots of sunshine. Temperatures where they're supposed to be in late September. 98 the high this afternoon. Low 70s overnight. Tomorrow, though, sunny and breezy and cooler, 91. Sunday's even cooler, still 82, and then the temperatures will start to warm back up early next week. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros have been serving Arizona for over 20 years. It's heating up, so get your vehicles and watercrafts ready for summer. Make sure your AC, tires, brakes, and bearings are inspected. We also do alignments, oil changes, preventive maintenance, and more. Get your tires at any of our four Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros locations or use the Tire Finder online at edwhiteheadstirepros.com. We also have free pickup and drop-off for your hassle-free experience guaranteed. Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros. Yeah, we got tires for that.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Take a stash.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Derek Egberg from Academy Mortgage, and we're here just talking about anything that kind of pops in our head. I know the biggest thing out there is the Fed. Apparently the Fed has put in the brakes on the fact of where rates are going to go. From my standpoint, dealing with the stock market kind of had it factored in that the Fed was going to lower rates sometime next year, maybe 2 to 3 times. Mm-hmm. And at this point, that's getting all pushed back.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the market in the last week or so hasn't responded well, but also naturally the government, the debt limit thing is also affecting it. How about with rates and that?
Well, it's, rates with that, they hit the pause button. They didn't really stop. They just kicked the can down the road for another 6 to 8 weeks. But rates, I really see interest rates are going to hit 8 by Christmas. And I hate to say that, but, you know, if you listen to the show, we were talking about this, that by the end of the year, rates could hit 8 a year ago. And everybody thought, no, that's fortune telling. That's a crystal ball. And, I mean, we're knocking on the door of 8 right now. It's at the front door. And if you look at some of the down payment assistance programs, state of Arizona will still give you the down payment for certain loans. Do you know what their interest rate was as of yesterday?
What's that?
8.625.
Seriously?
So if you want down payment assistance from the state of Arizona under their e-housing program, they're already telling you interest rates are in the mid to high 8s. And we always say the state of Arizona is about 0.75 to 1 point to a point ahead of the market. That's how they make their money back. But interest rates, if we continue this path, which we're going to, are going to be in the 8s by Christmas.
Are we going to hit double digits?
I don't think we're going to hit double digits. The idiots in Washington could really screw all this up, you know, with supply chain, especially when you look at petroleum and delivering goods and services. But if the way inflation is calculated, if you look at how this could project out, I think by second quarter of 2025, you could start to see some release. I don't see any release in 2024. I just don't.
So the Arizona assistance, is that something that would go through someone like you? Or is that like a whole separate? Oh, yeah.
No, it's mortgage bankers that are aligned with state of Arizona can do those programs. And so they send us their information every morning to say, here's where the rates are. Typically, it's about 9 a.m., so I don't have the state's rates.
What percentage of your closing are helped by the state, if you had to guess?
You know, anymore, it's a lot less than it used to
be. Less than 5?
I would guess it's probably 5%, maybe approaching 7 at a maximum. But, you know, VA doesn't need it. USDA doesn't need it. Lots of people have saved their own 3.5%. And when you show them, hey, if you have your own 3.5% and you potentially negotiate closing costs, you might not need much more than 3.5 to 4%. Now you get a way better interest rate.
Is it set up where the state will eventually get their money back?
Yep.
Okay, so it's kind of just a pre-funding thing.
It's a pre-funding thing that they will, you know, through the state, through the bond writers that are putting these things together, they're going to make more money over time, but they also know there's more risk over time because that person has no skin in the game. So basically the reason for the higher interest rate, because the way the state of Arizona does it now is they will always get their money back, that is pricing in the risk of defaults in the future.
I see. So it's not that the state gets it, like private side or someone gets it?
No. It's all through the bond issuers in Wall Street. Now, formerly, the state of Arizona had some forgivable programs, and sometimes they come in, sometimes they go away. When interest rates start dropping or they're flat, then the state starts some of the forgivable programs. But as you see interest rates continuing to go up, no, the state's on the hook. There's going to be risk. They're not forgivable at this moment.
I've been following the news a little bit. I don't want to switch topics too much, but Any word on where the governor, didn't she take off her day and try to get someone else to take her job, the governor, Hobbs?
I haven't found out why yet.
I've been watching the news trying to figure out.
But that's just so unusual.
Yeah, I mean, something must have really happened for you to step down for a day. I mean, I could hide out for a day and say I'm, you know, in charge.
Well, who was the politician that was on, you know, family maternity leave for 2 months and nobody knew that they were actually out? So, like you say,
I see for like a week or so, but it just seems weird.
Yeah.
You know, maybe she had a nervous breakdown.
Well, hopefully.
That was a Department of Transportation. We didn't need him anyway, Buttigieg.
But you look at, for a, what was it, 18-hour, 17-hour? And I saw the press release, but I've not seen, has she reassumed her role?
Yeah, that's what I've been watching. I haven't seen anything, so I don't know. I'm just curious. I thought Russ would know everything, but.
Well, I just didn't read it. Apparently.
We'll keep talking. You investigate that while we talk, So I have a question. So I got some information on the demographics of this country and other countries. Mm-hmm. Basically, we're moving towards a older and older population. When you do mortgages and you have a retiree compared to a working person, is there an advantage to work with a retiree, or is it all the same numbers?
It's all the same. You can be 99 years old and still get a 30-year fixed mortgage. So there's no age restriction. There's no limits that way. You know, a lot of times what you see is the aged person is buying smaller. They're not moving up, so they're potentially downsizing. A lot of times they're on fixed income, so you need to be a little bit more.
The numbers have to be more precise.
They do, and not necessarily precise, but you don't see a lot of the retirees stretching to their absolute limit. Where you see a lot
which is a smart move, right?
Very smart. You see a lot of the, you know, late 20-somethings that are pushing 50% of their gross income for house, car, credit cards, which gross is for everybody's benefit before tax. That doesn't leave a lot of money after tax for food and groceries at the grocery store, gas, electricity, things like that. So, you know, that 50% mark, it's amazing how many people under 30 want to push it beyond that. And most retirees really want to keep it 40% and under. That's pretty much the difference.
Do you know if there's any programs for retirees that basically can't make their house payments? And, I mean, not on your side, I assume, but.
Well, so when you say not make your payments, you're either asking about a deferral or a forbearance, that those are typically one-offs.
Uh-huh.
But it's amazing how many people have misconceptions on what a reverse mortgage is. And a lot of times a reverse mortgage is a evil word, a dirty word for a lot of people. But it's just another program that for a lot of retirees,
unlocks your equity.
Yeah, a reverse mortgage might be the smartest thing you've ever done. Let's pretend you're retired, you're of age to get a reverse mortgage, and your home is free and clear. And you don't really have enough financial resources to maintain your lifestyle. You do a reverse mortgage, and you either take a paycheck from your house each and every month, or you take a lump sum and you go do something with it. But now you know when you and your spouse pass, your heirs still get the remaining equity in the property. They still have the chance to take it and pay off the note there or sell it. So you don't lose your house, but a lot of retirees I see should have done a reverse mortgage and didn't. And actually, I have one that had a reverse mortgage, and then they said they were going to sell their home to a family member, and they were all going to live happily ever after in the same house, but the family member was going to pay the loan off, so that way everybody was there. And what do you think happened 2 months after they, quote-unquote, helped their family member? So everybody's on the loan, you know, mom, dad, kids are on the loan. What do you think 2 months after they did that happened?
One of them flaked out.
Big family explosion. Yeah. Just an argument like crazy.
I hate when that happens.
And so now, family drama, family split, elder parents are still in the house, new mortgage on the home that they can't afford to pay, but there's a limit to the amount of equity you can use in a reverse mortgage. They don't have enough equity to roll it back to a reverse.
What percentage of mortgages do you do that are reverse? Probably pretty small, right?
Very, very small. Probably less than, if it's more than 2.5%, I'm shocked. Because most people here in the Yuma area are still doing, hey, let's buy. We're a growing community. People are moving in. a lot of the retirees are transient, second homes, and it must be your primary residence for a reverse. So, you know, if you're a Minnesotan that's down here for 5 months out of the year and your primary is up there for tax reasons, you can't do it. But we will talk about that and way more. I see a stack of papers after the break. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK09040081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, Tom Rush, Russ Clark, talking all things money, credit, mortgage. And you got a stack of papers, and you were talking about demographics.
Yeah. So, real quick, one more thought on the reverse mortgage. I've seen the paperwork on some of them. My question is, and you probably know the answer, is there's a lot more fees on a reverse mortgage than a traditional mortgage. And can you explain some of that a little bit? Because the fees are, what, double maybe? Or is that fair to say?
I would say it is fair to say that it's about it's twice as costly to the borrower. And that's because of, again, risk and knowing that that's pretty much all Wall Street's going to have. And Wall Street is taking a huge risk because what the risk to Wall Street is, Tom, how old are you?
Going to be 53.
Now, let's pretend you were of retirement age, and you're not, so you couldn't do a reverse. But how long are you going to live?
Hopefully past 75.
Wait, you can't tell me to the day? and that's the variable with a reverse is, if let's say you took a payment and you were taking out, hypothetically, $2,000 a month out of your house. And, you know, you look at the actuarial tables.
Could be 20 years, could be 15.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this. Are the fees higher for the people that do those? Do they get it? I mean, is it a little bit more lucrative type of loan if you're on commission or that?
It could be. And so certain banks, depending on how they put them together, yeah, it could be double the revenue. But you have a lot more stuff going on with them as well. And the timeline is elongated. But, you know, truly, the reason is that risk is if you live to be 105 and you outlive the actuarial tables by 20 years, they still have to make that payment.
Yeah.
And let's say you ended up owing $500,000 on a home because you could. And at sale time, the home is only worth $400,000. Yeah, there's a $100,000 loss that there's no way around that. So
they do the laws of numbers, right?
They
win over time, but someone could live long. Yeah. How about, I was going to ask one other question. I forgot.
Well, you're pointing at.
Yeah. So let's talk about the demographics of the different countries. So AI is a big thing, right? Artificial intelligence. And that's kind of the theme this year. I think I went to a conference back in Tennessee last week and half the speakers were talking AI. So that's like the new word, but. So anyways, the demographics. So right now, out of 100 people in the United States, that are over the age of 65. Guess how many? Russ, you can get on this too if you want to guess.
I don't know.
In the United States. And this is 2020.
Ask that question again.
So for the 2020 numbers,
okay,
you had 100 people in the United States. How many are over the age of 65?
100 people over the age of 65. I'm going to guess 38%.
I'd say 25.
28.4.
Okay. Good job, Russ.
So, you know
old
that
people.
Was a good job.
Yeah, I say. He's got his phone up there.
I know about old
he's
people.
He's pretty fast on his thumbs.
Now, fast forward to 2050, and these are projections. 100 people, how many will be over the age of 65? 2050.
Let's do a 10%
yeah,
increase.
A great
Let's
question,
go 38.
But, 35.
40.4. So, basically,
if the price is right, I'm winning. So yeah.
No.
Now, here's the thing. I got numbers on United States, United Kingdom, China, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, South Korea, and Japan. In 2050, we have the youngest demographic still, meaning we're at the lower end having 40 out of 100, 65. But some of these countries, like Italy and Spain, right now Italy has 40 out of 100 today. And by 2050, they're going to have, okay, guess this number because it blew me away. By 2050, out of 100,
if
how many?
40 today, I'm going to guess
today.
It.
Jeez, sorry, 40. 60.
It's 60.
I'm going to agree with him. I don't want to go different.
74.
Wow.
And then Spain will be 78, and South Korea is 78.
What?
Wow. That means that it's unbelievable, isn't it? So that
that's,
means that.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, job-wise and production-wise and consumption.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of older people don't consume as much just because they're wiser.
I don't want to see a bunch of old people when I retire.
What do you think we see when we're in here right now, right?
So, man.
You know, everyone thinks this artificial intelligence is to, like, be efficient, save money for corporations, which it is. But it's really to handle the fact that not that many people are going to be working.
Well, yeah, how many nurses are we going to need for all those people?
Here's what you said that causes me pause that we didn't talk about. Give our number right now. You said 28.
28, yep.
And it goes to
40.
40.
Yep.
So that's almost a 50% increase, correct?
30, yeah.
Doesn't
yeah.
that mean
maybe
that,
33, 34, okay. 35?
So let's say that means there's that many more people on Social Security by then.
Right.
This doesn't connect to the whole Social Security problem.
And Medicare.
Medicare, Medicaid, yeah. Social Security. And you think, okay, if we have that many less people paying into a system and you have that many more people pulling out of the system, that demographic or population curve causes me huge pause.
Yeah. It's going to cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, everyone says we're the number one economy. China's number two, but, you know, kind of gaining grounds. So right now, out of their 100, how many do you think they have over the age of 65 today or 2020 for China?
Over the age of 65?
Oh, yeah. I would say 10%.
I'm going to say 27.
18.5.
Okay.
So they have a young.
Yeah, they're younger. I know. I knew they were younger. But that's even with limiting the child to one. You know, they've had that no kids, you know, one child. You would think their population would be older, but must be a tough place to live to be old.
Yeah. Well, so and by 2050, they're going to be at 47.5, so half their population will be.
They already know they're panicking already. They already know they're in trouble. In fact, they've changed their family
kids,
limit.
Yeah.
You can have more. Like they're looking at those numbers and they're saying, holy man, we're in trouble. Okay, everybody get three. And I think it's a mandate, isn't it, to have three? It's not a suggestion.
I think they reward you, actually. Like you get a perk or something if you have more kids. So the tightest one is, it's neck to neck, but it's United Kingdom and France. So United Kingdom in 2020, that's 32, 65 and older with 100 people. That goes to 47. And France goes from 37% up to 54%. So, but as of today, the oldest, you know, people out there is Italy. You know, they got 40% today that are 65 out of 100.
And going into the high 70s.
And going into almost 80, yeah.
Wow.
So,
I mean, when you start talking numbers like that, it becomes really difficult to sustain an economy. right?
Well, it's who's going to wait on my table when I go to the restaurant?
Yeah. Well, you're going to have AI. You go into half these restaurants right now. You order on the little thing and see some of these restaurants. The train brings it out.
I bet you looked at the consumers, United States, Americans. You know, I think your spending years are probably 35 to 55. I mean, I think there are people, they want to go out and buy a truck, they buy a truck. If they want to, you know, they.
Cars.
But once you get to a certain age, I've seen this, and I don't know if you guys can back me up on this.
I'm already there.
I think people are more.
He doesn't own a truck anymore.
Frugal, and even if they have the money, they just don't want to buy those things that they think, I don't need another item. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. A drive through, they say you want ketchup. I say, is it extra?
A little salt packet. You ask for 10 of
them. That's because you ask for 27 of them because that's what you keep at your house.
Yeah. It's tomato soup.
Yeah. little hot water.
Right.
I don't know. Those numbers really threw me off.
That's weird.
Now, the other thing coming down the pipeline, and I'm sure you guys have heard this, is with AI that they think the Americans will eventually have a 4-day work week. And that projection is 2035.
They're not even waiting for it at UAW. That's one of their demands right now while they're on strike.
I mean,
we want 40% increase in salary over the next, 3 years or 4 years. And we want a 32-hour work week and get paid for 40.
Which is equivalent to probably a 50% raise if you look at that way,
right?
It's
equivalent more than that. I mean, they're talking for 40 up front plus work 8 hours less.
So probably, 60.
But the irony is you look at the equipment and AI and computer systems, and if you go to all EVs, how many less people do you need in auto manufacturing?
Oh, apparently it's like 30% less or something to manpower to produce an EV. Well,
that's what they're saying. 30 is probably 50. They just don't want to give the number.
Musk keeps automating, it's going to be.
But you look at some of these demands and you think, guys, maybe you should be a partner with the industry, not necessarily an adversary with the industry. Because you guys are pushing the envelope of being out of a job here pretty quick.
Yeah, I think they're trying to destroy them so they go bankrupt, or something. Then they can't produce EVs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a pro union person to some degree, but I saw a stat and they said they showed what one of those guys made like 2,000, and then what they make now, and there's not much of a difference. So I think all the stuff going overseas has probably affected the pricing here, don't you think?
I think so, and I've tried to do some research, and here's some stuff I get told anecdotally, that $32 an hour that they're talking about, they get it paid, that's like their entry, which doesn't make sense, because I thought union contracts, it was firm, and that's what you get. And I've heard from people, it says that once you work, you get annual raises on top of that individually. And there was a guy here locally.
50, 60 an hour once you've been there for 10 years.
Well, and there was a guy here locally working for a GM, and this is anecdotal. I don't know if it's true. Maybe you can help me out. He was like $120 an hour because he was a senior employee. And he retired, and in his retirement benefits, he had like $4 million in cash or something in his retirement benefit.
Damn. Hmm. That's above normal for most people, $4 million.
Way above normal. And if that's all true, I don't know if it's true. I haven't been able to. I've done a lot of research on the line, trying to. There's nothing written about it. Now, I was in a union, and when we were in a union, and the union says you made $10 an hour, everybody made $10
at different levels, right? I mean, if you're
whatever your position was, that's what you made. Yeah. You know, and if you were working in the warehouse and you made, and that was $10 an hour, everybody made $10. It didn't matter your seniority, didn't matter anything else. Everything was
one thing about the unions, because I know a couple in town, is that overtime's key. I play golf with some guys that are in the union, and they're always like, yeah, we got the overtime. Because I think when you're getting paid the same amount, like the only way to make more money is to basically try to get overtime.
Yeah, but all of them are paid pretty healthy.
I do think they look for that,
Of course.
I'm not saying that, slow on the job so we get the overtime, and that's built into everything,
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works for. I mean, I can't imagine them being the same as they've been that long. They built a two-tier position when they bailed them out last time. The union guys continued at the $30 an hour or whatever, and the the new guys came in at 17 part time.
In the article I read, it could have been tilted towards that. It could have been like not fake news, but anytime you write something, you can make it tilted one way or the other, but they made it sound like they didn't get much of an increase.
It's commonplace now, but I can't ascertain one way or the other.
But see, that's what you just said is kind of going back to Elon Musk putting a video out at the border. We used to get the news, and you got the facts and figures, and then you drew your own conclusions. Now we get things that are colored with adjectives and adverbs, and the conclusions are drawn. Russ, you just need to eat what we're spoon-feeding you. So when you say, hey, this may have been skewed one way or the other, yeah, you actually have to read these and say, was it pro, I mean,
maybe
was
the
it
beginners didn't get much of an increase, but if you've been there. So here's what's going to happen with these countries. You watch. They're going to start doing visa programs if you're to get the young people.
The right age.
The right age to come over here. And, you know, maybe you have to, you know, have not be a record or something, or maybe pass some test or something. But I bet you they're going to start stealing from each other's countries. I mean, that's,
oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Italy's going to start marketing to, you know, Croatia and Hungary and all those and try to get people down there to.
Yeah. I mean, you're 100% right. How could you not when you see a population in 27 years could be 80% over 65?
So I think what you guys are telling me is this immigrant thing with Biden's could be a genius move that we're just not aware of.
You know, we're going to leave that on you there. That was Tom Rush's exposure.
That was Tom Rush.
Inside, they're like,
you're on break. You got to go.
Take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK09040081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group. We also got Derek Eggeberg, Academy Mortgage. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So we're just kind of talking about things. Now, I did see the Elon Musk going down the border, and I didn't read it quickly, and I saw a couple pictures. So I don't know the gist of it, but he basically did that as a stunt to let everyone know how bad it is, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't hear him talk. Did he say anything?
I didn't hear him talk.
I didn't watch it.
Okay. But I think it was, Elon Musk is kind of the rock star of the business world slash everything. So I think
it depends on who you are. I mean, there's the left.
He's
the
shining,
left hates him.
Shining some light on what's really happening. Hey, did we ever find anything about Hobbs on if she's back at work?
Yeah, she is back at work. She was in Washington, D.C. because Mayorkas was overseas and he came back and she wanted to talk to him. So she went out there and then the Fontes went out there as well as the Attorney General.
But if you went to Washington, would you have to, like, step down for that?
Apparently, according to what I read, according to Arizona law, that just puts the other person in charge. You don't really formally step down.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of, like, misunderstood, I guess. Oh, but okay. But there has to be somebody in the state that's going to take an, case there's an opportunity.
Okay. So, it's not a big deal, basically.
Not a big deal. I mean, and maybe the U.S. government works the same way. Like, if the president's overseas, maybe the vice president has to stay home. I don't know.
Yeah. And we're talking on the break a little bit, you being in the mortgage business, that there's a lot of, not gimmicks because they hold water sometimes, but one of the things I came across was saying that Zillow has a program that if the buyer puts down 1% for a house, that Zillow will contribute the 2%, which sounds like a really good deal, and I kind of brought that to your attention. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, and your response was?
Well, it's a marketing gimmick because that's a standard Fannie Mae program, but it's only eligible in certain areas of the country. And so then you read the headline and then you flipped through and went, oh, yeah, look, it's only available here. So you have to be a lender who has gone through the program. Technically, we do it, but it's not even eligible here in Yuma.
Is it eligible anywhere in Arizona?
I do not believe. I take that back. There is a small pocket in Maricopa that it is.
And it sounds like they try to take areas that are really beat up and they try to get people to move there.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, you look at things that we do these all the time. Back in the day, remember in 05, 06, you could literally get 100% financing on an investment property. No skin in the game. Here you're, again, putting things where
1% is
1%
no skin in the game.
Is no skin in the game. And then you run the risk that if the person has a hiccup, they may not have enough skin in the game to stay there. There's income limits. There's geographical limits. But you see the headline that it looks like, oh, my gosh, this program is available anywhere. And then you actually read the fine print, and it's not.
Yeah.
And it's genius marketing because some people, you know, you read the headline
and
you hook people.
Yeah.
But truthfully, when you look at whether they work or not, Fannie Mae also has a limit of the number of loans that can be done per financial investor. So you look at it's not eligible to anybody who qualifies right then and there because there's a funding limit. There's a unit limit that Fannie Mae has on those as well.
So you've been doing mortgages for how long?
Geez, 24 years.
So have you? Do you remember one that stands in your head that was just like an awesome program, mm-hmm. but then they took it back away?
Yeah.
Because these come and go, right? Mm-hmm. Like the which one was?
Back in the day, the My Community 97s and the My Community 100s, if you were in a rural area, and Yuma was defined as a rural area,
yeah.
you could do 100% financing on a 30-year fixed with reduced mortgage insurance, and the interest rates were better. And so back in 05, 06, you could literally have been a physician in Yuma making $1 million a year with no purchase restriction, buying an owner-occupied home for 100% financing on a 30-year fixed. And there were a lot of those done to the betterment of communities because you still had to qualify, and they had more restrictive debt-to-income ratio limits.
They looked at your credit a lot heavier. I mean, that was a big deal.
Credit scores were not as restrictive, but your debt versus income limit was. And those were great programs that you had a lot of people who, you know, again, if you said you had 20 grand to put into a home, but you owed 15 to 20 grand on your car and your car is at 10% interest, I would rather see people do the 100% financing on the house and pay the car off and get rid of the extra consumer debt. And we did a lot of those that way back in the day. This is more of a gimmicky program that Zillow's advertising. Not that Zillow's doing it wrong. That's a Fannie Mae program. But it's a gimmicky program because it's not good for everybody. It's very pocketed, and there's a cap of how many can be done.
So jumbo just popped in my head. A jumbo mortgage nowadays, how high can you get a mortgage for?
Well, when you say how high can you get a mortgage for, it depends on what you can qualify for. Your income.
But you think like people in Hollywood 90210 are doing like $20 million mortgages?
You know, most of those are private money banking and or cash.
So like a different kind of mortgage,
yeah,
I guess.
It's, yeah. You know, a lot of those you go into the private banking side and they do a one-off type thing.
But if someone in Yuma said, hey, I want a $2 million mortgage, like that's not a big deal? If
no, you
want, well, okay.
You can do those.
Up to $5 million maybe? Or?
I mean, again, there's jumbo, there's super jumbo, and you hit the right things. You know, when you get over $5 million, now you call it super jumbo. But I would ask you, Tom, how many $5 million homes are there here in Yuma?
I think Russ has one.
Well, Russ does, and his is gold-plated. But, you know, you look at it, it is still back to income versus debt, that okay. drives everything. But you can find the right loan for right people as long as they qualify.
And with your office, how many agents, I guess you call them, how many loan reps do you have?
Seven.
And how many of those do loans not in Yuma? Is that pretty common practice with Zoom and all that now?
Yes and no. So four of us are licensed in states elsewhere. Myself, Rosa Castillo, Bill Kraft, and Ray Ochoa are all licensed in other states. If I remember right, Ray is licensed in either three or four. Bill is licensed in three. Rosa
probably
in
California, Nevada, Sistering.
You know, it's interesting Texas. That a lot of times, like for the four of us, it's Arizona, California because of that cross-pollination. Yeah. Ray is in Tennessee and Virginia. Bill is in Virginia. Nice. And I think, I don't want to speak out of turn on that one. You know, I'm Arizona.
So they're covering different states, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And part
Which
of
makes
it is,
sense, right? I mean,
you don't really want to spend the time, money, and energy getting licensed in 50 states if you're not doing anything there, because there's continuing education and there's bonding issues. And
you have to pay a fee every year. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But if you have people that you know, like, you know, I have family in Wisconsin. Okay, there's draws there and there's people that trust you, so you want to do that. You know, Ray has family back in Virginia. So, again, it makes sense to do that. But you see some of these people that go, hey, I'm licensed in all 50 states. Well, okay, but do you need to be? You know, is that the smartest thing for you? I don't know.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of work.
Unless you're doing, like, internet cells where some random person calls you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But, you know, the COVID really did teach everybody Zoom and online meetings. You can still be face-to-face without a handshake. And it's part of the business I don't like because I still like meeting people. And Russ and I joke about the cup of coffee and the cookies. I mean, you walk into your office. I want to see Tom. I want to see Adrian when I walk in there. I don't want to see, you know, one of those telemed machines that you're talking with a physician who's in Alaska somewhere. Just that. That knowing that you know who's helping you, I think, is still important.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in our business, COVID has helped out in that sense with Zoom and all that, because now people realize they can do it. Mm-hmm. And I get some business owners in Yuma that are, you know, they're busy people and they're like, yeah, let's do Zoom. And we get the same thing across, because we're more like touch, go. Well, you're like, you know, serious till the mortgage gets done. So it's like a big deal. So
you do that for people across town even?
Yeah.
Wow, that's good.
Some of
that's
them,
good.
They prefer that. They just say, hey, we can do Zoom. Yeah, let's do it. Because they don't want to leave their office, or they just, you know.
One, it saves you 10, 15 minutes drive time either way.
Yeah. And the meetings are shorter, I could tell you that, because you're not like, you know, you don't.
Yeah, what are you doing this weekend?
Yeah. So, but
I don't want to talk on the phone.
Because you're not
But even older people, like I just did a review with someone out of Phoenix. I think she's like 78, and she didn't know Zoom or anything, but during COVID she had to learn Zoom from her relatives, so she's now like a pretty proficient to get on Zoom. So I think it taught everybody the technology on communication, you know.
It did. And you look at our kids in schools, I mean, how many kids now, they prefer doing that because that was what they learned for 2 years, basically, is it's all online, it's all video. And you know, two of my kids would rather do it video versus sit in a classroom, because
seriously.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's something that we haven't really dissected, the psychological issues, is that social connection that I think a lot of people are missing because of the potential Zooms as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, my son went to U of A, but he did terrible with those Zoom classes. So he needed to be in front of somebody. I don't know.
That's when
me too. I would need that.
That's when you say, hey, guys, let's go play golf on Zoom. Well, let's play a round of golf. Can we do that on Zoom?
Well, I think your teacher would notice.
It's funny, like this summer we have a family trip and we all go golfing, like 20 of us, and out of Oceanside. And one of the guys that's golfing with is literally on the Zoom. And all he had to do was listen in. They knew he was on, and we played 18 holes.
Really?
Yeah. He put an ear thing in, and he kind of knew. Yeah. So I'm like, God, who would ever think you could be? He was on Zoom probably 9 of the holes, and he got the gist of it, and he was playing golf. They couldn't see what he was doing.
Well, but you got to be careful with that, because I was on a corporate Zoom call. There's probably 100 people there, and you know how you can see the video, and some people have it turned off.
Yeah.
As the meeting is progressing, you see this screen moving back and forth and back and forth, and you realize that the guy had his phone down at his side, but the camera was still turned on. So you're watching the side of his pants going back and forth as he's walking down. I don't know. It looked like he was just walking outside.
Yeah.
Think, okay, note to self, turn the camera off first before you do that.
Before you make a bathroom break, for sure.
Speaking of bathroom break, I think Russ is needing to go. His eyes are turning yellow. So we'll take another break. We'll come back after Russ's bathroom break. This is Money Talk AM560 KBLU.
And he looks at her and says, hey, darling, I can remember when you could stop a cloud. Oh, but ain't that a...
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899.
where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK09040081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. Tom Rush, Derek Egberg, Russ Clark in studio. And, you know, we were talking on the break about savings. And, you know, I get to see everybody financially naked, see their credit, see their income, see their assets, see their past history. And a lot of people today come in with little to no savings. And you have something on IRAs and some of the...
So, you know, the simple thing to put money away is if you don't have... Well, the best thing is if your employer does it, get their match. But in Yuma, not a lot of employers do the match. So that's probably not on the table.
Okay.
You know, your company has a match. Mm-hmm. My company has a match. I'm sure Russ is matching his people.
Yeah, I don't match anything.
So anyways, so Roth IRA and IRA is like simple. You can put 6,500, 0 to 65 if you're under 50. Over 50, you can put up to 7,500. So quickest way to get started is start one of those. But they've been around forever, but there's 10 of the most confusing things with these type of accounts. And that's from top to bottom. And I read them and I was intrigued by some of them because you don't think about what are the 10 most confusing things with an IRA.
So we'll call this the David Letterman, Tom Rush, top 10 IRA.
Now, okay. I don't know if you guys got excited about this, but I got a little excited.
Give it to us.
So basically, there's something called a qualified charitable distribution. And once you start taking your RMD, when you hit 70.5, now it's 73.
Well, RMD for everybody is a required minimum distribution.
Okay. Yep. They force you to take it out. You can transfer that distribution to a nonprofit. They don't pay the tax to a nonprofit. You don't get taxed on it because you're doing it directly to them. So you can
you get the tax break?
No. Okay. But here's the difference. If I'm going to write a check for $10,000 to my church, well, I can take $10,000 from my IRA.
Makes sense.
Which is a better way for me to give the mm-hmm. church money, right? Mm-hmm. So, but anyways, people can do that. A, they don't know that. But they could also, even if you took the RMD account, they will let you journal more money to the nonprofits. So it's a great thing for nonprofits, and they should be promoting this. That's number 10. Number 9 is if you have many different plans, say you have a 401k at work, and then maybe you consult on the side and get like a 1099, or maybe you have two jobs, you can have more than one retirement plan. So a lot of people think they can only have one. So they add up all the money you put in with like all two or three of them. So there are some limits on what you can put into it, but you can have more than one retirement plan. That's myth number 9.
Okay.
Any questions? Are you guys?
Nope. Keep going. No. Keep going. We're following.
And basically, as far as putting money into an IRA account, you know, anyone think you can just fund an IRA account? A lot of it's based on how much income you make. And if you make too much income, then you don't qualify. So one of the myths out there is everyone can just fund an IRA or Roth, and it's based on income. And that becomes a big deal because once you put money in, it's a little harder to get the money out, especially if they don't qualify for it. You could also take 401k money, that's Roth 401k, and maybe move it to a Roth account so that you can transfer within, or you can take an old Roth IRA and transfer it to your 401k Roth account. Now, it's in the plan documents if they allow that, but there are ways to move money so you don't have too many different accounts. So that's another thing. And the inherited, so the best place to give money to your kids when they inherit stuff, not the best place, but one of them, is through the Roth IRA, because after the new rule is after 10 years, they have to have the money withdrawn. But in a Roth IRA, it's still tax-free. So let's just say you have a Roth IRA for 50 grand, give it to your kid, and let's just say you make a 7% return. That money will double in the next 10 years, and then they can pull it all out tax-free. So it's almost like if you leave it in there for another 10 years, you're really doubling probably what your kid's going to get.
That's a good one.
So that's another one. There's something called a backdoor, where you can fund a backdoor Roth. And basically, if your income limits are too high, so you can't, you don't qualify for a Roth or because you make too much, anyone can always fund a non-deductible IRA. And then once you have that in place, you can convert it to Roth within days. And it's not taxable because you made a non-deductible contribution. But the only problem with that is, and this is the big sticking point, if you have any other IRA accounts besides that money, then they want you to include the whole amount for the when you, so some of it could be taxable if you have other IRA accounts.
Okay.
And that's a big hang up because people get half the rule and they don't get the other half.
So consult you first before doing it.
And then see if any of these others are any good. If you, it's very crucial to put beneficiaries for IRA accounts or even 401ks, because if you just have your estate down, it will go, you'd have to withdraw the funds immediately. So the 10-year rule where you get to keep it in there if you inherit something besides your spouse, so for the kids, make sure the beneficiaries are in play. And you'd be amazed at how many beneficiaries are not done right. Either they don't have them or they have the ex-wife there.
Well, I got to interrupt that. That comes up in the real estate side all the time as people do things incorrectly that, you know, you, let's say you wanted to make sure your kids got the house, and a lot of people just deed their kids onto the house and now they're part owner. Well, that means they're an owner. They have responsibilities. So when we run credit, you know, things potentially become an issue. And again, not legal advice, but go look at a beneficiary's trust deed, which if people would do that, they would keep some of the problems out. Again, go talk to your attorney or your escrow agent. But a beneficiary trust deed means, Tom, instead of you putting your kids on it right now, it's if you and your wife pass, then they become the owner. So they're during the time that you're here, they're not responsible for the taxes, the insurance. If there's a mortgage on it, we don't have to count that. But as soon as you put them on there, there's potentially an issue that they have to carry that debt or those upkeep charges, if you will.
Well, you know, the best thing about keeping them off is real estate gets a step up basis. So that's a key thing, right?
And you're, you know, now you're talking about, man, you better know from your attorney, your financial advisor, your CPA, that you're not making a mistake. And I see a lot of people make mistakes just putting their kids on it.
Yeah. And also I see people do that and they don't realize it. Say you have a bank account and you put your son on it, so it's two. If he ever has liability where he gets sued or someone's after him, they can go after that money because that's his name's on the account.
That's a real danger too that people don't think about.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, you see banks, you can list people POD, paid on death to this person. You don't have to put them on the account.
I have a great story. So I had not a great story, but they basically did that. The mom put the son on and it was quite a bit in the savings account. The son got a divorce and the wife took quarter of the half because it was part of the household money. Yeah. So talk about, you know, you got to watch out.
And that's the problem. So back to what you were saying with the IRAs and the step-up basises and giving money to your kids. Before you make some of these decisions, sit down with you, Tom. Sit down with your attorney. Sit down with your financial advisor. You know, whoever.
Yeah.
CPA. To make sure that you're not penny wise, pound foolish. And that's what I see a lot of people where you add somebody to something and it opens up way too many Pandora's boxes and it just doesn't help sometimes.
Yeah. And the cost or the time to get it fixed is way more than the second it took you to just make that decision and do it. So,
makes sense.
Hey, last thing I'll talk about is, you know, Roth IRA is the best, really the best type to put money in for retirement because it's tax-free coming out. But there is a rule that you have to have it open for 5 years before you get your money out tax-free. So if I open up a Roth when I'm 59 years old or even 62, I can't just start tapping it when I want. So it's a 5-year wait. So even if you
is that on the conversion as well?
The conversion is 5 years. Well, okay. Yeah. Good question. I'm not sure about the conversion. But what they recommend you to do is go open up a Roth for $100 and just have it open because the clock's running. And then you
from
when
open
you,
date, not from open dollar
date.
Investment.
Yeah, from
date.
Open
okay.
date, yeah. So I think a dollar has to be put in or some value, but
I'm saying if you
basically,
open it for
yeah,
let's say $100 now,
wait
and then,
4 years, and then you can start funding and take out immediately. So a lot of people don't do that. So anyways, those are things about IRAs and Roths that people don't realize.
You know, and it's funny, but it's not funny. All of this information is even more readily available for everybody, and we're becoming even more specialized in this country. Like, I don't want to know the financial stuff. I do, but I need you because you are looking at all of these things. And, you know, you show the thing, the heat maps and what sectors are good and bad. I don't have access to any of that stuff. You call me and ask mortgage questions because there's so much information out there and there's hundreds of products that you need a specialist. It's like having a physician who's a specialist.
And I've seen, you know, I sometimes Google stuff to get an answer on something. And one thing you don't understand about Google is sometimes you're reading something like 2 years old.
Wait a minute. And you're not, saying if it's on the internet, it's not always true? Come on.
Well, it could be outdated, right?
It's got to be.
So that's the biggest thing. People say, well, how about this? I'm like, well, where do you hear that from? Well, it was on, look, it's on Google.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was like the rule 3 years ago. So, yeah, that is right, but it's not right today. So you got to be watch out for that.
Well, and people, I don't think, realize how fast everything changes. Like if I said, hey, Tom, I want to go buy Bitcoin for $1 a coin. Can I?
Not today.
No, I've seen it on the internet. It used to be. I mean, you know, and you know, you see even some of the younger people come in. Well, I'm not buying a house if interest rates aren't in the threes.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't been in the threes for about 2 years.
You probably hear I'm going to wait till they go down.
Oh, you know,
below four or something, right?
I roll my eyes because I ask everybody who says that, hey, what do you think the historical norm of interest rates are since the time it was tracked? What do you think the historical norm average is?
I say close to high sevens.
I would say six, seven. Yeah,
seven and a half. Yeah. So we're literally at the historical norm, but we've gotten so used to it was cheap that people are adverse to seeing interest rates where they are. You know, what's the historical norm of the stock market? Since the time it was tracked.
So it's actually 11%. Yes, 11%. But if you go back 30 years, I think it's closer to like 9.5.
So, you know, are we up? Are we down? It doesn't matter because it's the market. It changes. But, you know, 2 years ago, you couldn't get any money on your savings accounts. Google it right now and look at, you know, I was talking to a client that, you know, mortgage rates have to be 2.5 to 3% over the savings rate that a checking savings bank is going to pay you. You can find 5.5% interest on savings accounts all day long online. What's 2.5% over 5.5? 8%. You know, that tells you mortgage rates have to get to 8. Autos, when was the last time you saw any auto company advertising 0% interest? I haven't seen it in quite some time.
Yeah.
Why? Because
I think I saw one on a billboard.
You guys said
$2.99, so that's not bad, but that's going up too, right?
Well, I know we're almost out of time.
Yeah, like
so
15 seconds.
For all of us, if you have served, are serving, families ever served, thank you for allowing us to talk on the radio and enjoy the freedoms of these United States of America. This is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU.
Everyone have a great weekend. Be safe.
In my Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC registered investment advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.